really brings a heavy heart. And we have laws in place, plenty of laws for federal hate crime laws, laws against killing people, all these very obvious things. And yet they can only do so much. That's what a law is there to do, is to restrain people. You know, it's just what we do, but what we really need is transformed hearts and minds. We need people coming to the place that Jesus had in the gospel, saying, love one another as I have loved you. Which is really a transformed heart. Because if you're going to love somebody, it comes from the heart. That is one of the few things I think that will really reunite us during these days. Transform hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. And this is nothing new. We see it in the letter or the book of Acts this morning, our first lesson. We see here a place where the Jews and the Gentiles, both Christians, Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians, and these were some of the first Gentile Christians, but they became one. Whereas before they were separated, now they became one. And the background to what we read today was that St. Peter was in the city of Joppa, and it says he was praying, and he kept having this vision. And the vision looked like something very nice. It looked like a picnic was coming down from heaven, a big picnic blanket. And on this picnic blanket were vultures and lizards and probably some locusts. Really good picnic food, right? And he hears his voice and says, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." So these things seem a little distasteful to us, but for Peter, as an observant Jew, these foods would have been unclean. And he was not to eat them. So he responded, "No, Lord, I've never eaten anything profane or unclean." And the response he got from the vision was, "You must not call anything profane that the Lord has." When he comes out of this vision, he said, "So that was interesting. I wonder what that was about." Then there was a knock on his door. Some people from Caesarea, and they were sent by the centurion there, saying that he had been praying, and an angel appeared to him, and the angel said to him, "Go to this house by Simon Peter, and he will give you a word by which you shall be saved." And so this vision was fresh in his mind. "Do not call anything impure or anything profane that the Lord has made." So he said, "I think these two things are related. My vision, what just happened." So he went to Caesarea. He preached the gospel to the Gentiles. The Holy Spirit came upon them. He said, "This is really something else." They were baptized right there on the spot, and they became Word spread about it. The nuances of what had happened didn't quite make it through the grapevine. And so the brothers in Jerusalem wanted to speak with Peter and said, "What's going on here? Then you had all these other Gentiles. You went to them. You ate with them. We are supposed to be separate." And that was in their minds. You know, the idea that they were over there, we were over here, and never in the twain shall meet. And yet, Peter shared his vision. He shared what he had seen. His vision about the picnic coming down from heaven, about being told to eat the unclean animals. Immediately after that, hitting the knock on his door, going to Caesarea, preaching to the Gentiles, and then receiving the same gift of the Holy Spirit that they had received when they believed. He said, "God is bringing us together in this way. Who am I?" And nobody had an answer at that point. And that's because of how powerful God's word is, how powerful the sacraments and the rites of baptism are, and that they bring people together by bringing us first to Christ, bringing us together in Christ, which brings us together with one another. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit, but being baptized in the Holy Spirit, baptized in water, those are the same. And so, to understand and celebrate how expansive and powerful this gift of baptism is. This baptism which comes, which is a gift of you. Paul wrote in Romans that in baptism we are united to Christ primarily in his death and resurrection. So if we are united to Christ in his death and resurrection, we share Christ's victory over death. And I've said this before over the past couple of weeks. And moreover in that, Christ shares our human nature with us by being perfect, human and perfect God. But in doing so, he shares his divine nature with you. Perfect human, perfect God, there's all this sharing going on. There's all this sharing that draws us close to God. That's because Jesus, perfect human and perfect God, being part of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, when we are baptized into Christ, we get this fellowship with the Holy Spirit as well. It's a huge, enormous gift. With all the love, the affirmation, and affection being passed back and forth between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, given and received, we are a part of that. Thus we get to participate in Christ's divine nature. And that works very well for drawing us closer to God, for us experiencing the love of God. But what about the love of neighbor? The love of one person to another, which this world desperately needs in these times. Well, the amazing thing is that this baptism erases boundaries. This baptism erases boundaries. If you were to look again at our lesson in Acts in your bulletin, the very first thing that it says, the first lesson, the first thing that it says is that the Gentiles accepted the word of God. And again, this would have been, at the time, quite a shock. So prior to them, the only Christians were, they weren't even called Christians at this point. They were Jewish people who believed that the Messiah had come in Jesus, and if anything, they were called followers of the way. Followers of the way. But then, Gentiles received the Holy Spirit, they believed in the Word of God, and Peter was recounting his vision that occurred. Do not call anything profane that the Lord God has made thee. So, we really aren't separate anymore, are we? Because if I am baptized in Christ, you are baptized into Christ. I have received the gift of the Holy Spirit, you have received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, the evidence is very clear. Now, despite the growing pains that the church was going through, at the time the church was expanding and seeing that this plan that Christ came into the world to reconcile all people to himself, yes, included the other, included the people that the first Christians might not have considered. The evidence was clear that they received the Holy Spirit, that there was to be unity. Because if I am in Christ, if you are in Christ, it's like all reaching for the same thing. And in doing so, we physically move faster, move closer to one another. It's like you're in a grocery store and two people are reaching for the same box of cereal on the top shelf. But if you're going to get pretty close, you're reaching for that option. We have something even more powerful and more profound than a box of cereal. In that being drawn closer to Christ, we are also drawn closer to each other. So we have love of God and love of neighbor, two greatest commandments. In a day like today, when society is as fractured as it is, we really need that unity that Christ brings. We truly do need that togetherness. So I think St. Francis, right here in our portion of Virginia Beach, that I think we have such an important witness to the world. You can just look around at the diversity that we have, both racially and ethnically, but also in politics, thought, like many of us, think very, very differently. Yet we recognize how we are united in Christ, and we love one another. Our identity in Christ is primary, and so we're able to be one, despite differences. We don't all have to be uniform. We don't have to have uniformity. But in Christ, we do have unity. We don't need to be the same. But we do need to care and love for one another. And this baptism, we're drawing us closer to Christ, drawing us closer. baptized in water. Christ himself, the River Jordan, John the Baptist, he was baptized right there, and the Holy Spirit descended upon the form of a dove. And in doing so, Christ identified with us. He didn't have any particular sins to repent of, and he still joined us in the same rite of repentance. He didn't need to be drawn any closer to God because he was perfect God, perfect human, but he joined our human plight in needing to be drawn closer to God. And he has identified so closely with us that gives us a place where we can follow him. St. Athanasius also spoke of it's like we're stuck in this maze. And this maze is very, very difficult. And the only way to make it through is to follow the one person who's been through it before. And if you're going to follow this person, you need to follow them right from the beginning. Because if you're following anybody, if you get off on the wrong foot, you know, start right from where they start. No, you're going to miss out. And so you're baptized. Even within the Episcopal Church, when we bring a child forward to be baptized, like, do they understand fully what's happening? No, that's not really the point. We have a sense of what's going on, but there's mysteries there that even you don't fully understand. But even with children, it creates that unity. It creates that time, or that very pivotal moment where they're drawn closer to God. Sometimes that is very, very needed. One priest told me a story once about he was attempting to baptize a child who was going through these terrible tubes. And just at that moment when the priest was saying, "Do you reject Satan and all the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God?" And this little boy was shouting out, "No, no, no!" But he was still baptized. He was still drawn closer to God. Hopefully there are grandparents there to take those vows on his behalf. And even the small children, they're drawn into that unity, and they're set on the right path. And when someone is baptized in water, you know, they're also sealed with the Holy Spirit. There's a portion where the priest takes a little bit of oil to bless by the Holy Spirit, and anoints the new baptized person on their forehead, and says this: "You are sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forehead." You are sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forehead. It's a profound statement. That is, in essence, the same thing that happened to those Gentiles when Peter was preaching to them and the Holy Spirit descended upon them. Now, they had unity with the Holy Spirit marked as Christ's own. We certainly live in a time that needs this unity. Needs us to be united to one another. Needs people to view one another with respect, with love. In a world where this kind of hatred does not exist. And for my part, I'm really convinced that it's going to take God working mightily in the hearts and minds of people. And us responding appropriately. God offers us this grace to say, "Yes, Lord," and to follow Him. Through my baptism, we are drawn closer to God, and we continue on that journey throughout our whole lives. Being drawn closer to God, we know we are drawn closer to one another. And this is a great gift that is given to us. A great gift of baptism, where God draws us to Himself, draws us closer to one another. We are baptized in water and the Holy Spirit. Those outward invisible signs and this internal and invisible grace. And we are immersed into this great unity. The great unity of the Trinity and the great unity of the Church. But all of this comes from a gift. This great gift that comes from Christ. Is there